Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 17th chapter, text 12. Kovrishchattavapadamstrin. Kovrishchattavapadamstrin. Sorabyeha chetuspada. Sorabeya chetuspada. Mabhuvams tadrisarastre. Mabhuvams tvadrisarastre. Ragyam krishnanuvartinam. Ragyam krishnanuvartinam. Kovrishchattavapadamstrin. Sorabeya chetuspada. Ma bhuvamst tvadrisarastre. Ragyam krishnanuvartinam. Others? Vaishnavis. Who is he? Avrishkat, cut off. Tava, your. Padan, legs. Trin, three. Sorabeya, O son of Sarabi. Chatupada, you are four-legged. Ma, never to be. Bhuvan, it so happened. Tvadvidisa, as yourself. Rastre, in the state. Ragyam, of the kings. Krishna anuvartinam, those who follow the codes of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. He, Maharaj Prickett, repeatedly addressed and questioned the bull thus, O son of Sarabi, who has cut off your three legs? In the state of the kings who are obedient to the laws of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, there is no one as unhappy as you. Purport. The kings or the executive heads of all states must know the codes of Lord Krishna, generally Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and must act accordingly in order to fulfill the mission of human life, which is to make an end to all miseries of material conditions. One who knows the codes of Lord Krishna can achieve this end without any difficulty. In the Bhagavad Gita, in a synopsis, we can understand the codes of Godhead. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same codes are explained further. In a state where the codes of Krishna are followed, no one is unhappy. Where such codes are not followed, the first sign is that three legs of the representative of religion are cut off, and thereby all miseries follow. When Krishna was personally present, the codes of Krishna were being followed without question. But in his absence, such codes are presented in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam for the guidance of the blind persons who happen to be at the helm of all affairs. Om Ganatamananda Shyajananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayamrupa Gadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So the dictionary definition of the word code is a system of words, letters, figures. Well, one definition is a system of words, letters, figures, or other symbols substituted for other words, letters, etc., especially for the purposes of secrecy. So I don't think this is the sense in which Prabhupada is using the word codes here. It's not in the sense of like the Morse code. It's more in the sense of a collection of rules. That's what's being referred to. Like if when you go certain places, they might have a dress code. You know, and entering certain restaurants is a dress code. You have to be wearing shoes and a shirt. Or if you go to some more formal event, it might require that you be wearing a jacket and a tie, something like that. So it's a collection of rules. That's what's, I think, being Prabhupada's using the word code or codes in that sense here. And, I most recently had a reminder of that particular definition of the word codes when I was down at Huntington Beach and I had a book table set up at an event. It was an international surfing competition. And I was had the table set up down there, kind of near the entrance to the whole thing. And a gentleman walked up to me in plain clothes. And he said, "Oh, what are you doing here?" I said, "Oh, I'm just distributing these books." And he said, "Oh." And he reached into his pocket, pulled out his wallet, flipped open his wallet, showed me a badge and said, "I'm with code enforcement." "You can't be here. Beat it." So, in other words, it's Prabhupada's using the word in that sense here. It's a set of collection of rules. So he's making the point. Prabhupada makes the point at the end of the purport that during Krishna's presence, when Krishna was personally present, the codes of Krishna were being followed without question. Now that's interesting. I think Prabhupada's referring to how that was the case was not so much because it was, Krishna was going around preaching everywhere, or it was just due to Krishna's presence. You know, it's like when the sun is up in the daytime. When the sun's up in the daytime, it's light out, it's warm out, there's no fear. But when the sun sets, it gets dark, it gets cold, it gets scary. Something like that. You know, just due to Krishna's presence, people were just intuitively, to a certain extent, able to understand what those codes were, what the rules for living, so to speak, were, and to a significant degree were following those. And in the absence of Krishna, the world sinks into darkness. I think a metaphor something similar to that is even used someplace in the Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada goes on to point out that the Bhagavatam is here. It's actually non-different from Krishna, and it's a place where the blind persons who happen to be at the helm of all affairs can get knowledge of what the codes of Krishna are, what the rules for living are, and take advantage of those. Unfortunately, they have no inclination to do so. One of the greatest misfortunes in contemporary human civilization is that we have unenlightened leadership. They have no inclination to enforce the codes of Krishna. They have no idea what the codes of Krishna are. They have no idea who Krishna is, nor do they have any inclination or desire to know who Krishna is. So we got our work cut out for us. We have a lot of work to do because, yadyadacharati shrestas tad evetado janas yat pramanam kudute lokas tadanavartade. Whatever great men do, not that they're great in the sense of good qualities, but great in the sense of they're prominent, they have power. Common men follow in their footsteps, and whatever standard they set by exemplary acts, the whole world pursues. So people are, unfortunately, they're victimized by the blind persons who are at the helm of all affairs. And, you know, the human society is in a state of not absolute chaos, but getting there, progressing in that direction. So as devotees, we have to do what we can to try to counteract that. And that begins with ourselves becoming, understanding what these codes of Krishna are. And as Prabhupada points out in the beginning of the purport, the codes are there in the Bhagavad Gita, generally Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to become familiar with what's in Prabhupada's books. Not difficult to do. It's not difficult to understand what, for a devotee, what the codes of Krishna are, because Prabhupada just as repeatedly through his purports, through his lectures, through his letters, is drumming it into our head. So, you know, for a devotee, we should be pretty well confident of what those codes are and how to apply them. And even if we're not successful, you know, in our attempt to, superficially, if we're not successful in our attempt to influence these blind persons who happen to be at the helm of all affairs to be interested or to understand anything about Krishna's codes, we're really successful. Because just like Prabhupada, the last lecture he gave to his disciples at the Mayapur Festival in 1977, it was the last lecture he gave to the group of disciples. He gave the example of Jatayu, how when Ravana was kidnapped Sita, Jatayu was basically a vulture, and he was old, but he saw Ravana, you know, abducting Sita, and he thought, "What is this? Who do you think you are?" You know, and he felt he had to do something, so he attacked Ravana. And Ravana was way more powerful, and Ravana cut off one of his wings, and Dachayu got killed. So superficially it seems like, oh, he was unsuccessful. But actually he was successful because his devotional service was recognized by Lord Ramachandra, so much so that Lord Ramachandra came and performed the last funeral rites for Dachayu. So in the same way, there's no question of being unsuccessful in preaching. Even if we attempt to try to introduce these codes within human society and it doesn't seem to have much impact, still, just by that effort, by that endeavor to do that, our devotional service is recognized by Srila Prabhupada, the predecessor acharyas, Lord Chaitanya, and in that sense, we're successful. So there's no question of not being successful, a failure in the execution of the attempt to preach Krishna consciousness. And another point on these codes, although unfortunately they might not save these blind persons who are at the helm of all affairs, or the unfortunate people who have to follow them, they save us. The codes save us. Like, I had an experience of that yesterday. I was trying to distribute books at a street fair in San Clemente, California. And at one point during the day, it started off kind of like, at one point during the day, it got really tough. And I had a period of about like an hour to 2 hours where practically, what to speak of getting a book out, nobody really even wanted to stop and talk to me. People were just kind of like fubbing me off left, right, and center, you know, all but laughing in my face. And it was very disheartening. And it got to me, you know, because I guess I wasn't in the proper consciousness. And, you know, after about like an hour or so, I got to the point where I was thinking, you know, why am I bothering here to even preach in this part of the world? These people are animals. and I'm wasting my time, and let me go someplace where people still know how to act like human beings, and, you know, at least they stop and talk to you. And I was really feeling like that, and I was feeling really discouraged. So I sat down, moved off to the side. They had the main street blocked off, and all the people were going up and down the main street. So I kind of went off to the side, and I sat down. And I don't know why. I don't know even why I did it. I picked up my phone, and I can't even remember what I was going to do, but I just, for some reason, I went to my emails. I don't even know why, honestly. I went to my emails, and I just flipped, and I just saw this one. I didn't think I even saw the title of it, but I pressed on this one email. Maybe I saw the title. It's "By Preaching We Should Sell Our Books." So I somehow inadvertently went to that email, hit the thing so it came up, and then I read it. I sat there and I just looked and I said, okay, let me read. So this is a letter that Prabhupada wrote to Bhaktadas, April 9th, 1972. And the title is, I'll read it. It says, "I beg to acknowledge receipt of your letter dated March 19th, 1972. And I am very much pleased to note that you are making steady growth in all aspects of devotional service, especially in the department of selling so many books monthly. But," and here's, I'll read it. "But always remember that we are selling books not for making business, but for pleasing Krishna. And by preaching, we should sell books. If this simple method is followed, there will be tremendous success in selling our books, and the public will appreciate and take great benefit from preaching and publications." So it's kind of like, practically almost as soon as my eyes hit that, it was just like, boop. So, oh yeah, I'm not preaching. I'm out here, I'm just, stopping people with some technique or something, and then, just making small talk with them and flattering them and joking and then trying to get them to take a book and give a donation. But I wasn't trying to give anybody any philosophy. And I think that was a mistake. And it was causing me to be in, to a degree, mundane consciousness. As soon as I read this, I just read it, and within, split seconds, I just realized, oh, yep, that's it, that's the problem. Clicked the phone closed, got up, approached the person, and I opened up the book to the changing bodies picture, and I just decided, no small talk, forget about all that stuff. I'm just going to stop them. As soon as I got their attention, I'm just going to show them this picture and explain to them, put the book in their hand, show them the picture and explain it to them. And that's what I did. I stopped the person, in some whatever way I could, and I immediately show him the book. I said, "Hey, check this out. See, this picture is showing how our body changes as we get older, but it's trying to show that what makes the body alive, what really makes the body alive, the spiritual essence, consciousness, whatever you want to call it, remains the same, and it continues after the body's finished." And then I just said to him, "My name is Jeff. What's your name?" And as I figured, at least I gave him some philosophy there, and it felt good. I felt, enlivened doing that. And then, sure enough, right away, people started taking books. Not a lot, to be honest with you. Maybe about, four or five, half a dozen people, not consecutively, but within a short period of time, took a book and gave a donation. And I felt like, definitely, this was Krishna. Saved by the codes, like saved by the bell in a boxing match or something. I felt like I was saved by the codes. That was codes meaning like a group of, set of rules. And the set of rules are Prabhupada's instructions. Prabhupada's instructions are Krishna's codes. See, so by following Prabhupada's instructions, we're following Krishna's codes. And there I was in ignorance for a while there of Prabhupada, of Krishna's codes, Prabhupada's instructions. But as soon as I was reminded of that and acted upon it, boom, everything changed. And as I said, not my consciousness changed and the result changed. Then what happened was the result changed again. and the people stopped taking books, but my consciousness didn't change. I was still in good consciousness, despite the fact that it reverted back and the people were just kind of like not interested in fubbing me off. I felt like, rather than feeling like embarrassed and humiliated and kind of like, bad, I just kind of felt enlivened still. And I felt like when they were saying something to me, like, not interested. So why not? Why aren't you interested? And it was like, I didn't feel put down by the whole thing. I was in, good consciousness because I was remembering what Prabhupada said here, trying to preach to sell the book on the by preaching on the merit of the book, but the philosophy. The merit of the book is the philosophy. So I was trying to distribute the book on the merit of the book, and that was enlivening. And despite the fact that the people, after initially taking a few books, weren't anymore, still I felt encouraged, I felt enthused. And so I felt that that was like, you know, a realization of the importance of these codes. That's pretty much all I wanted to say on this subject. I was requested to leave time for questions and answers. So I'm going to. Anybody have anything they'd like to add? Yeah. Sachidanoy. Hopefully that was short but sweet. Waiting for the microphone here.
Thank you, Prabhu. I have a experience being with devotees in that same situation that you went, you've been through many, 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 many years before in different occasions. So I was just wondering if that would have happened to you for 1 week or 2 weeks or 1 month, what would you have done?
I probably would crack. I'm not that strong a devotee, but I would hope that I would hang in there long enough to be saved by the codes, you know. I mean, it's happened in different ways, the same thing, and I'm sure devotees have many of their own stories, but when we're reminded of Krishna's instructions, Prabhupada's instructions, and all, you know, and we put them into practice, things change. You know, things change. That happened just yesterday, so it's fresh in my mind. I can't, off the top of my head, think of another experience like that, or a more, you know, extreme experience, but that was clear. That was, to me, that was clear as a bell, you know, clear as day. I was really like down for the count, totally discouraged. And then all I did was I just sat down, I saw that letter, I read that letter, and then boom, within seconds, I mean, split seconds, I realized, yeah, oh, I'm not preaching. And as soon as I got up and started using the philosophy to try to distribute the books to people, everything changed.
How would you respond to sometimes that I've seen, even in myself, in my experience, and other devotees too, they said, you know, Prabhu, to tell you the truth, it's very mystical. Somehow that I don't know, but I didn't even chant my rounds today. And guess what? I did bigger than when I chanted. What would you say that some devotees sometimes, they say, you know what? I don't know if I should mention this devotee. He's a big, big book distributor devotee. He said, I said, what do you tell the people? He said, well, at that particular time, I don't say anything. I just made friendship with them. And a lot of people is taking books that when I preach to them.
Okay, I'm not sure I understood your question. You're saying like this, what would I say about a situation where the person didn't chant their rounds and they went out and did good anyway? Is that, what was the gist of the question?
So anyway, so the point is that those, some devotees had that, you know, it's like they were asking me and I said, well, you know, nothing is under our control. Nothing is under our control. And sometimes, I don't know, now I'm speaking, I was trying to pose the question to you. So it sounds that we get very attached. Sometimes we, in my own experience now, I know you maybe, but in me, we really want to force a result in our devotional service, and that doesn't work. And then we try to find some code, some reading, something to justify my, you know.
Krishna's a person. He's watching. He's observing, and he knows what's going on. He can understand how much you're struggling to try to please him. And he is not obligated to reciprocate at any particular moment, but he's, you know, observing the overall situation. And, you know, if he feels like, okay, this person, this devotee's struggling, he's trying, so let's give him a break. And he gives you, you know, and the reciprocation comes at some point. And that could be the explanation for why, even though you might not have chanted your rounds some particular morning or not chanted very good rounds, you still might go out and do good because Krishna, he sees the overall picture. He sees the big picture. And he can understand that on the whole, this devotee is trying very sincerely. He's struggling. And I did, you know, these are some difficult tests he's been facing. But now he's still, you know, I'm going to give him some encouragement. Could be something like that. It's not mechanical. You know, when you're engaging in devotional service, you're entering into a relationship with Krishna. And you experience that more and more as you go on in your devotional service. It's a relationship. So in a relationship, you know, it's not linear. It's not mechanical. So that would be my explanation for that.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhu. I was really appreciating the point you made about preaching instead of just selling a lot of books. I was I kind of take my template for book distribution from His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu. And he talks about, he has a way to sell the Bhagavad Gita on its own merit hardback. And then after they take a book, he goes, "Do you believe in the power of prayer?" And if they say no, he goes, "Good, I'll just teach you a mantra." Makes you self-realized. So sometimes people, they don't have any money, or they say they don't, or they don't take a book. And I do that anyway. So you believe in the power of prayer and try to get to chant the Hare Krishna mantra with them. You know, so we go off the card, Hare Krishna, and they repeat Hare Krishna. And then if they take a book, I usually have a prasadam lollipop when I give them. But it's so satisfying, you know, to do that because, you know, you're trying to preach them and make a deep connection with them and let them know that you actually care and you're there. Because, sometimes I went to the anime expo and I was selling a lot of SSRs, but it was just can you give me a donation? And, you know, it was just wham, bam, thank you very much. They got a book, but I felt like I wasn't doing the full form, you know, of chanting the heart, getting to chant the mantra and, you know, trying to do quality and being an ambassador of goodwill. So, and it worked out in Venice Beach on Friday, but there was a time where it was kind of difficult. And then I was thinking in my head, it's okay. I don't mind if I don't sell any books actually today, but I'm just happy to do this service. I feel very blessed and grateful that I have this service, that I get opportunity to distribute Bhagavad Gita and represent Krishna. And at the end of the day, it was 101 Lakshmi, so it worked out, you know.
Yeah.
The last two people, they both gave 20s, you know, two people at the same time. So Krishna's mercy.
I'm not supposed to mention numbers, but okay.
Well, sorry about that.
That's okay. But yeah, it's our duty. It's our duty. I remember I joined in the middle of April 1973, and Prabhupada came to New York shortly after that, and some of the devotees got to see him. I didn't. I was kind of so new they didn't want to take the risk of bringing me in there. But the devotees who were on the party I was on, they got to go see Prabhupada. So when they came out of the Prabhupada's quarters, I asked them, "Well, what did Prabhupada say?" You know, and they told me that Prabhupada asked them what lines they were using, you know, to sell the books. And they were, at that time they were using something from the Krishna book. They were showing them the foreword or the preface by George Harrison and like that. And then the devotees said, they showed Prabhupada that, and Prabhupada didn't seem to be very impressed. And Prabhupada just sort of went, well, anyway, somehow or another tried to get him to take a book and get him to utter the name Krishna. That stuck in my mind, that Prabhupada said that, get him to take a book, but get him to utter the name Krishna. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's an instruction like that, whereas a preacher is supposed to get people to chant Hare Krishna. So it's our duty. And I had, just reminded me of an interesting experience I had yesterday. And in terms of, we have to, it's a good idea to perform the duty, even in terms of results, because I stopped this one guy yesterday, and within about a minute or two, he told me, "I'm not going to give a donation." You know, "I'm not going to give a donation." I said, "Okay." But he seemed like he was interested, and he was interested, and he was asking questions. So I figured I should be, not, you know, it's my duty to talk to him a little bit. He's asking questions. And so I talked to him a bit, maybe 5 minutes, and the guy kept saying, "But I love you guys. I love what you're doing out here. And, you know, from Hawaii, and I was brought up in a very liberal home, and I really love what you're doing. It's great what you're doing." I think maybe he's a little bit intoxicated too. But anyway, so, and then he saw Ananda Kirtan, and then he wanted to talk to him. And so he went over and talked to Ananda Kirtan for about 5 minutes. And then he came back and he's talking to me. And once again, he said, the guy was kind of asking questions, and I had to be polite. And then at one point, he just all of a sudden says, "You know what? I'm going to give you a donation." He said, "I'm not a rich guy. I really can't. It's not like I can afford to do this. But I love what you guys are doing so much that." And he said, "What's your Venmo?" And I gave him my Venmo, and he gave a huge donation. So I wasn't thinking about donation at that point. I was just thinking, well, it's my duty. I'm, you know, ambassador of goodwill. I was just thinking I have to be the ambassador of goodwill. This guy's being friendly, he's being polite, he's being respectful, he's asking questions. And then Krishna just had that happen. Krishna from within his heart just dictated to him, hey, you know what? Give a donation. You put your money in. And he did. So anyway, it's a good idea from many different perspectives to try to be an ambassador of goodwill. You know, it's our duty, and even doing that, you know, we find that things work out well, you know, in addition to the fact that we're doing our duty. Anybody else like to say anything? Yeah, Mother Karta.
It is just a comment on the work code that you were talking about. It occurred to me that Bhagavatam has so many different levels of things that are being exposed at a certain time to certain people. So it's not only the codes that we know, that's part of it. And there's other meanings that come through in different occasions at different levels. There's different meanings that come through from the Bhagavatam that are coded in the Bhagavatam, kind of like what the first definition you were saying, and they're expressed in different ways. And as we proceed in the path of devotional service, these things become pop out of the Bhagavatam to our consciousness. So it's something that the word code reminded me of. So then actually it's coded in the sense that there's different meanings that are going to be revealed.
Deeper meaning is embedded within a code, and as you learn that code, that's
so that's what I was thinking, that maybe Prabhupada also used that word to mean that there's more things there that we don't apparently immediately capture, but eventually they manifest themselves to different people in different times at different levels.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good additional insight.
That's only a comment on the word. Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you.
Nice class.
Okay, thank you very much. Gantar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.